Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
In this bulletin, High Court agrees to hear challenge on under-16's social media ban. Spain, the Netherlands, and Ireland have announced they will boycott next year's Eurovision Song Contest. And in cricket, Zach Crawley stars in England's second Test Ashes recovery. Good morning from the SBS Newsroom. I'm Assam Aghad. The High Court has agreed to hear a special case challenging the federal government's social media ban for children under 16 years of age after an initial hearing on Thursday. The case won't prevent the ban coming into effect on the 10th of December after an application for an injunction was dropped, but the case could now be heard as early as February. Two teenagers working with the Digital Freedom Project launched the challenge, claiming the ban breached the implied constitutional right to political communication. After the challenge was first announced last week, Communications Minister Annika Wells told Parliament the government won't be deterred by legal proceedings.
And despite the fact that we are receiving threats and legal challenges by people with ulterior motives, the Albanese government remains steadfastly on the side of parents and not of platforms. We will not be intimidated by threats. We will not be intimidated by legal challenges. We will not be intimidated by big tech. On behalf of Australian parents, we stand firm.
Israeli media say Yasser Abu Shabab, a Bedouin tribal leader who led an anti-Hamas faction in Gaza, has been killed in Rafah. He was a key figure in Israel's effort to arm anti-Hamas clans, a policy Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confirmed in June. Meanwhile, militants have returned the remains of Thai worker Suthisak Rinthalak under the ceasefire deal. Mr. Rinthalak, who worked at Kibbutz Be'eri, was killed in the 7th of October 2023 attacks and his body taken by Islamic Jihad. His return leaves just one hostage unaccounted for, Ran Gavili. Mr. Gavili's sister, Shira, says the uncertainty surrounding her brother's fate has taken a heavy toll on their family.
In the past 2 years, we live in unknowledge. Every day, we don't know nothing. And we see all the other family, that their son is come back. And we see in their eyes that they have relieved, you know, because they know where is their son.
Spain, the Netherlands, and Ireland have announced they will boycott next year's Eurovision Song Contest. European Broadcasting Union members decided on Thursday not to call a vote on Israel's participation, meaning it can take part despite boycott threats from some countries over the Gaza war. The EBU says its members had backed a set of changes to its rules designed to reinforce trust, transparency, and the neutrality of the event. Irish broadcaster RTE said in a statement that Ireland's participation remains unconscionable given the appalling loss of lives in Gaza and humanitarian crisis. William Lee Adams, who runs a Eurovision blog, tells the BBC this has major financial consequences for the competition.
Spain contributed 330,000 euros to the 2024 edition. That's the last time the number was released. That's a huge amount of money. Add on top of that the participation fee from the Netherlands, which is smaller than that, but still significant, and then Ireland, Slovenia, which is poised to confirm its withdrawal. These numbers start to add up.
Opponents of a controversial $1.13 billion stadium proposed for Hobart say they won't stop resisting the development despite being endorsed by state parliament. The stadium is a prerequisite for Tasmania gaining an AFL team, but concerns about the development have divided the state and destabilized the Liberal minority government. 9 Liberal, Labour and Independent MPs voted in favour of the project, while 5 Greens and Independents voted against. This week, 3 key Independents threw their support behind the idea, saying the government had agreed to a set of safeguards, including an $875 cap on public investment. Speaking before the vote, Federal Greens MP Nick McKim said his party will continue to fight the stadium.
Well, the stadium order is likely going to pass the parliament today, but it's just the beginning of a large number of hills that the government and Macquarie Point are going to have to climb. There are no guarantees that this stadium is ever going to be built. And we will be bringing to the public's attention every issue to do with the increasing cost. The government doesn't even have a fully designed stadium. They say 70%. I doubt that.
To sport and in cricket, under fire opening batter Zach Crawley has helped England recover from an early Mitchell Stark double strike in an eventful first session of the second Ashes test. England was 9 for 325 at stumps on day one. England's Joe Root scored his first century in Australia, ending the day with 135 runs. Root had never scored a test century in Australia before, and critics had made a great deal of the former England captain's underwhelming record in Australia. This is his fourth test match 100. With the latest from the SBS newsroom, I'm Assam Ghalib.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.